Good evening, and welcome to another exciting session, another school year here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center, under the apostolic and prophetic leadership of our apostle, Leroy Thompson, Sr. I'm so thankful for he and his family, and I'm so thankful for you students who made a commitment to come and pursue excellence in ministry. You're not here for book knowledge. You're here to learn the ways of the Spirit. That is why this school was established when God first spoke to our apostle. We have a lot of territory to cover tonight. We'll begin with a short prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his birth, his death, his shed blood on that cross. We thank you for his resurrection. We thank you for his ascension to the seated position at the right hand of the Father. We thank you that he sent back to us the Holy Ghost. And we thank you, Father, because of grace and faith, we can reign as kings and priests in this life. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who indeed is the Spirit of grace. And only you, Holy Spirit, can escort us into the realm of the supernatural to give us fresh oil, fresh revelation, fresh illumination and insight into the plans, purposes, and the pursuits of our Father. Thank you for these students, that you give them ears to hear what you're saying in this apostolic school of ministry from all of the appointed instructors under the leadership of our apostle. Thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we'll be teaching you from the book Catching the Waves of Revival by Apostle Jonathan Davis. We will cover the preface, which is the introduction. We will also delve into chapter 1, which talks about revival, a divine attack on society. Hopefully tonight we will look at 9 characteristics of Old Testament revival that covers the spectrum of the 7 Old Testament revivals. So let us begin tonight. The definition of revival. Revival is the sovereign act of God in which God restores his own backsliding people to repentance, faith, and obedience. In Hosea chapter number 10, verse number 12, Hosea the prophet describes revival as the breaking up of fallow ground that once has been tilled. Revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire on the earth. It breaks the effects and the influence of hell's fire on the earth. And it establishes in the earth realm God's kingdom government. The purpose of the apostolic is to create for us a heaven to earth government structure so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened. An apostle, the first gift that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church and the first gift that the Father God set in the church, the apostle structures heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened and all those who are properly connected, they can enter in and benefit because they have access. The secret to the apostolic and to prophetic believers winning every battle in life lies in understanding the foundation that God has established for us. In other words, God's government. You know, we live in a day now where we tend to look at the governments of the world, but there is another government. According to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Here it comes. And there you go. There you go. Don't jump ahead now. Let's read it again. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Upon what? Of the increase of his government and peace, what? There shall what? There shall be what? So there is a real government. It is the government of God. You listening? And God's government is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. According to Ephesians 2:20 and Ephesians chapters 4, 11 through 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 28, 29. Well, let's go 27, 28, 29. Are you listening? You research those things, you might see them on the quiz. Are you listening? But God has a government built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the what? Chief cornerstone. The purpose of those two governmental gifts is to bring the church back to God's original plan. The apostle and the prophet are the first two gifts that were given that the Lord Jesus used to build the church, and they are the last to be restored in this day. Primarily for hundreds of years now, the church has been functioning on the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher. They have no concept nor understanding of the role of an apostle and a prophet. But this is an apostolic and a prophetic house. And I guarantee you, you will fulfill your assignment of excellence in ministry if you commit to this training center. Go ahead, daughter. The secret to the apostolic and prophetic believers winning every battle lies in the understanding that the foundation that God has established for us. This access is not a small thing. It is the divine connection that enables us to walk in victory through the revelation of the apostolic and the prophetic, joined with the teacher, pastor, and the evangelist. We are positioned to win every battle, no matter how fierce the battle is. The only way to shut the gates of hell is to open the doors of heaven. There must be cooperation in revival. God cannot move unless men have prepared themselves in accordance to God's what? Revealed word. Everything in the kingdom of God works by what? Revelation. And the revelation that breaks forth or comes forth in the kingdom of God is because of the kingdom of God's what? Relationship to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the spear in the realm where God resides. The kingdom of God is within us. God designed this thing so that the kingdom of God can download from the kingdom of heaven. Good God Almighty. Are you listening? And bring fresh revelation of what God is saying and what God is doing in the earth realm in the present time, the now. That's why in the book of the Revelation, when John wrote to the seven churches in the Asia Minor, he said, these words to all of the churches. He that hath ears to hear. He that hath ears to hear. Let him hear what the what? Spirit is saying to the church. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that's hearing from the Father and the Son and revealing it to us through the fivefold ministry graces. Go ahead, daughter. Revival is the cooperation, and it's a covenant thing. The fire came from heaven after the prophet, Elijah had built an altar according to God's word. That's 1 Kings chapter number 18, verses 30 through 38. Write it down. Read it. The rain came after Noah had built the ark. Notice that phrase, according to what? God's word. That's Genesis chapter 6, verses 6 through 12, and Genesis chapter 7, verses 16 through 17. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came down after the apostles prepared themselves cooperatively in the upper room. Revival is a sovereign move of God. You know what that means? Because God is sovereign. That means he's supreme in authority. That means there's no power greater than him. Are you listening? He don't need nobody permission to do anything because he is God. He's sovereign. He's the supreme ruler of the universe. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And besides all that, he's omnipresent. Only God fits those attributes and characteristics. Go ahead. Revival is a sovereign move of God, an intervention of God in the affairs of men. Revival is not something that you or I plan. But revival is something that God does by his Spirit. We can lay the foundation and we can prepare, but it is God that has to move. That's why Zechariah say, not by what? Mike, Zechariah 4, I believe it's 6 or 4:13, one of those. Y'all look it up, tell me where he said, not by Mike. Talks about the word of the Lord coming to Zerubbabel saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not human might, not human power. It must be by the Holy Ghost. That's Zechariah 4, what? 6. Okay, go ahead. We must follow instruction. In the apostolic and the prophetic, we must follow instruction. Catching the waves of revival is the unfolding of what it takes to bring revival into our cities and into our land. We will study the various stages of revival, and most people believe you will have to wait for revival. Because it is a sovereign act, and only God can determine when it should happen. The rain came after Noah built the ark. The fire came after Elijah built the altar. The glory came after Moses built the tabernacle. And that's Exodus chapter number 40, verse number 34 for Moses. The heavens opened after Jesus prayed. That's Luke chapter 3, verse 21. The Holy Spirit came after they had gathered together in the upper room. That's Acts chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4, but I would read Acts chapter 1. I would also read Exodus chapter 40. You know, I know y'all like to go to the exact verses, but I want you to have context. Go ahead. The Holy Spirit came after the apostles laid their hands upon the believers. And that's Acts chapter number 8, verse number 17. There is something that we must do for us to activate revival in our cities and in our ministries. The stages of revival, as unfolded in this book, can help us to prepare our churches to walk into the spirit of revival before it breaks out in full scale, to know how and what to do is an important factor. And we need to have prophetic insight and perception. We that are in this new generation have to know that we have been given what? The keys to the kingdom. And those keys are what? Revelational keys. You listening? They are the keys of revelation, because revelation unlocks, unblocks, and unfolds the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. According to Matthew 16, 13 through 18, and Matthew 13, chapter 13, verses 11 through 17. Go ahead. We know about ask, seek, and knock. We have this knocking theology that's been handed down to us from the pastoral form of government. But we have to move from the knocking theology to the unlocking theology, from knocking to unlocking. And that only can be done by what? Revelation. And revelation can only come from apostolic and prophetic teaching. Go ahead. Stop knocking and start unlocking. One believer can knock, but it is up to God to determine if and when he will open. The other believer determines that it's already over and he has the keys in his hand. One believes in waiting on God, while the other believes in advancing the kingdom. These apostolic teachings and procedures will help the church to work out their own soul salvation and come into their inheritance. The keys of the kingdom is given to a what? A mature church, not an immature church who will squander her inheritance. You have to be a real son and a real daughter to carry the keys. You cannot use the keys as a rookie. We can bring full scale transformation on this earth by thinking with a mind of a strategist and pursuing this course with the spirit of the revivalist. Do not allow or do not let strategy take the place of your born again, recreated human spirit under the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit that is within you. Romans 8, 14 declares, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of God. That's a qualifying statement. It's one thing to be born again. You listening? That's the power to become sons and daughters. But in order to manifest sonship and daughtership, we must learn to be what? Led by the Spirit of God. Go ahead. True revival produces specifications for the good of man and the glory of God. Chapter 1, Revival, a Divine Attack on Society. The closest biblical word to revival is revive or reviving. It is from the Hebrew word chaya. It is a primitive root meaning to live. This word is also translated in the Strong's Concordance as nourish, to preserve alive, to quicken, to restore, to save alive, and to make whole. The first four times this word chaya is translated revival in the King James Version, it deals with four increasing levels of death. Number one, in Genesis 47, 27, I want to say this right here. Notice it said four increasing levels of death. That's powerful because that said in order for us to experience revival, which is a resurrection, there must be a death. Are you listening? Go ahead. In Genesis 47, 27, it reveals that Jacob's flickering hope was realized when he saw Joseph's wagon. I don't have time to go into all of that, but you remember how Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery based on his dreams, told their father that Joseph was killed by animals, when really they put him in a pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites took him down to Egypt. He was in one Potiphar's house. Are you listening? He went there as a 17-year-old young man. Thank you for your enthusiasm. 17 is the number of victory. So God sowed a seed of victory in the world. You listening? Joseph went down as a slave boy. Are you listening? And everything Potiphar put in his hand prospered because Potiphar saw that God was with him and that everything he put under Joseph's authority prospered. Eventually, Joseph became second in command to Pharaoh in Egypt. But the scriptures goes on further than that. It says that God made Joseph a father to Pharaoh. Don't tell me what God can't do. So Jacob now realizes that Joseph is indeed what? Alive. When he sent those chariots to come and get him and all of his posterity. Go ahead, daughter. It reveals that Jacob's flickering hope was realized when he saw Joseph's wagons. Revival starts from that small, hopeful conviction that one day that we will see the glory and power of God. It's a conviction. You listening? But we shouldn't be worried about one day because it's now. Everything with God is in the what? Now. Go ahead. Revival breaks forth from a hope that does not what? A hope that does not what? Disappoint. That's called a supernatural hope. That's the kind of hope that Abraham had. You remember? You remember that when God told him concerning his promised child, huh? That through his seed, all families of the earth would be blessed, according to Genesis 12, 1 through 3. You remember that Abram tried to help God out, him and Sarai. Y'all remember that, right? Huh? And when Abram was 99 years old, God appears to him and says, you're going to have that child. Abram said, oh my God, oh Jesus. I don't even have a seed. And Sarah's womb is dead. But the scriptures teach in Romans 4, who against hope, beginning at the 17th verse, who against hope believed in hope? You got to read all the way. I'm not going through all of it. Who against hope? That was natural hope. Who against hope? What? Believed in hope. That's a supernatural hope. See, we must be convinced that what God promised, he is also able to perform. That persuasion can only come when we are crucified. You listening? What you mean? We become fully persuaded that what God promised, he is also able to perform regardless to our natural conditions, the natural circumstances we have to go through, the adversities. You listening? Go ahead, daughter. In Judges chapter 15, verse number 19, it revealed that Samson's thirst was quenched from a supernatural source, which caused his strength to return, and he was what? Revived. Notice he received his strength from a supernatural source. Are you listening? A drink of the Spirit. That's our supernatural source. Praying in the Holy Ghost, according to Jude 20, but ye beloved, building up yourself on what? Your most holy faith, doing what? Praying what? In the Holy Ghost. Praying in a language unknown to you, but known to God. It's supernatural communication. That's how we get strengthened in the realm of the Spirit, by communicating supernaturally with our Father. 1 Corinthians 14 and 2 say, for he that speaketh in a what? Unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto who? God. Then it says, no man understandeth him, but howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh what? Mysteries. What mysteries are he speaking? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What is the purpose of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? To be revealed to us so we can carry out all of God's planned purposes and pursuits. Go ahead, daughter. Revival starts as an unquenchable thirst that only a supernatural source can satisfy. Revival is the coming in of a new freshness from the supernatural provision of God. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 22, it reveals that Elijah's prayer was heard and God responded to Elijah's voice by reviving and restoring the child. Now, you know, in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah the prophet was sent to the widow woman of Zarephath. You listening? Who had a cruse of oil, a handful of meal. She gathered two sticks. You listening? And she said, I'm prepared. This is what she told the prophet. I'm going to go prepare this cake and eat it. And when, so that me and my son will what? Die. Because the famine is so great in this land. But God had commanded her to sustain the prophet. You listening? The woman had a seed. If you eat your seed, you die. But in revival, you're going to learn, sow your seed. Talk to me up in here. And she sowed the seed according to the word of the Lord that he gave unto Elijah the prophet. You listening? He say, first go bake me a cake, then you, then for you in your house. Are you listening? I don't have time to get into all of that, but understand this. There came a point that her son died, and she went and found the very prophet. Talk to me. You listening? You listening? Go ahead, daughter. Revival starts in response to our voice of prayer. God moves in response to our intercession and to our praise. Revival has a lot to do with human responsibility, activating a supernatural move of God. In other words, the human's responsibility is to receive supernatural instructions that activates supernatural happenings. Go ahead. revival has a lot to do with human responsibility, activating a supernatural move of God, and God cannot and will not start a revival by himself. In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21, it reveals to us that a dead man came to life when his corpse touched the bones of Elisha the prophet, who was dead and buried. But Gehazi, who should have carried out his anointing in the earth realm, forfeited his anointing because he didn't serve the prophet properly. He was going after stuff. You listening? You remember when Naaman the Syrian was delivered from leprosy and he offered to the prophet Elisha gifts, and the prophet said, no, just take it all back with you. You listening? Gehazi snuck and went, you know, made up a story so Naaman would give him the gifts. You listening? But he didn't know that the prophet Elisha's spirit had went with him when he was out there. Talk to me up here. So he forfeited that anointing. He was serving the prophet, forfeited that anointing. The prophet was buried with it. But the man who was killed in war, they threw him in there. And that anointing raised him up from the dead. All of those examples talk about what? Revival. Go ahead, daughter. Revival starts with the principle of what? Continuance. Revival starts when we become fully submerged in the teaching and the revelations of the old order, and we become baptized by their message. We need to touch the bones of our forefathers if we're going to carry on from the old into the new today. In other words, all them people who tell you about don't read the Old Testament and all that stuff, you got to ignore that. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Because the scriptures teach us all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture would have what? Hope. Matter of fact, if you study the scriptures, you will find out much of the New Testament is taken from Old Testament prophecy. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead. Revival starts when God restores the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their father. All these groups of people are listed as the recipients of revival. In the book, Reviving the Revivalist, it summarizes for us 9 outstanding characteristics of the 7 major Old Testament revivals. Number 1, revival occurred in a day of deep moral darkness and national depression. Are we in that day? If you don't learn the lessons of history, history does what? Repeat itself. There's a lot of chaos in the world, a lot of depression in the world. Deep moral chaos. Go ahead, daughter. Revival began in the heart of one consecrated servant of God who became in the revival the energizing power or catalyst behind the revival. God used that vessel to quicken and to lead the nation back to faith and an obedience to him. That's talking about the apostolic and the prophetic. Are you listening? Huh? Are you listening? One of the hallmarks of Apostle Leroy Thompson's ministry, LTMA, for those of you who want to become more involved with excellency of ministry, Leroy Thompson's ministerial association is available to you, but it is built upon the principles of consecration, dedication, and sanctification, which are the hallmark principles of what? The revivalist. Go ahead. Each revival rests upon the word of God. And most revivals are a result of preaching and proclaiming God's law and prophecy with power. All resulted in a return to the true worship of who? Jehovah. In other words, back to God's what? Original plan. The way God intended it to be from the beginning. Each witnessed the destruction of high places, idols, and false religions, and false gods. In each revival, there was a recorded separation from sin, complete cleansing, holiness, and purity. All of these are characteristics of what? Revival in the earth realm. Go ahead. In every revival, they exalted the sacrifice of blood. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Are you listening? Without the shedding of blood, there's no what? Remission. We're not talking about sin being covered as it was under the old covenant. You listening? But it was the precious blood of the Lamb who took away sin once and for all. By the sacrifice of himself, which was a more excellent sacrifice than the blood of bulls and the blood of goats and the ashes of a heifer. Are you listening? We ought to thank God for the finished work of Christ. Go ahead. All recorded revivals show a restoration of great joy and gladness. Each revival was followed by a period of great national prosperity. Revival means to renew, to reawaken, to reinvigorate, to restore the church to wholeness and joy in the Holy Spirit. Look how somebody's telling them it's time to get your joy back. Go ahead. Revival is God revealing himself to men in awesome holiness and irresistible what? Power, because he's sovereign. No power can compare to his. Go ahead. True revival are marked by powerful and often widespread outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, in our next session, we're going to take a very in-depth look at the 7 Old Testament revivals. So enjoy a great evening. See you next time.